Welcome to another episode of Europe's B2B Tech Sales Podcast. Today with Valentina Ricupero, lastly head of customer success at Beekeeper, and now having her own company for nearly a year. So Valentina has 15 years of experience in implementing digital technologies across different industries, and she also previously to a customer success team leader held sales roles as a territory sales manager, also in innovation communities, the University of Zurich and other like very well-established organizations. So Valentina, thanks so much for taking the time today, and great if you can share maybe also two actionable insights that somebody just starting with customer success can implement right away.
Mm-hmm. All right, thank you, Manuel, for the invitation. I'm very happy and excited to be here. Of course, I've been working now with quite a few startups, and I will say the insights are very or most valuable for startups. So the first thing that I would recommend is definitely to run kind of an assessment of where you stand. What typically happens is, like, of course, you're all focused on getting customers, right? Then you get your first customers and, like, great, this all excitement. And then things start running. And usually the pace is quite fast, right? So there is this moment where startups, you know, kind of lose a bit the vision of where they stand. Right. And what I call, like, basically say, like, guys, please stop flying blind. You know, it's like you need to really understand the basics. So hard facts, how many customers you have, of those customers, how many users you have activated, you know, what is the retention rate? So how many stay there over a certain period of time, right? Over a month, how many you lose, how many you get new. So these kind of things you need to have very clear. So this is like step one. Really get these hard facts, you know, very clear for you, get this overview to start really understanding where you stand and planning the future.
Yeah.
The second thing is then also to, let's say, understand also when you have this overview, where are there problems and where there are like things that actually work, right? So also there, really get to, you know, kind of visualize it if you can. Definitely write it down, make it visible, make it clear. Pick the top three problems that you have. You know, yeah. If you look at the customers' retention and say, okay, these customers, I'm getting customers activated 80% and they actually then drop after 1 month, one third or two third then drop. What is going on there, right? So what could be the problems? And try to really name it and make some assumptions and then focus on that problems. On the other hand, also look, when you have this overview of customers, you will be able also to understand and see, okay, well, this is a customer that actually is working quite well. We activated a lot of users. They are like staying there. They are quite active. What works? Why is that? Right. So really, this is like number one, really start assessing, you know, what is happening and what is working, what the problem is. The second part is also the assessment is also understand you as an organization where you stand. Right. There is a matrix that I use or framework that I use with startups when they would look into the customer success maturity of their organization, and is one that has been developed actually by Jackie Goldman, and is really a great matter. It's quite easy. It looks at different let's say parts of an organization, so of the people, the processes, the technology, and the business strategy, and it shows how there is a development, right? So customer success. The first question is also, where do you as an organization stand in customer success? So when you understand that and assess that, you know, then also you can look more into, okay, of how much time do I really, or my customer success people, or sometimes it's you, one or two people, right? It's not like 24 or 50. So what is keeping us busy, really, right? So, and when you look into that, then you can start basically to surface where the problems are, where you are doing very well, and where you can improve, right? So what are the activities that maybe you are spending a lot of time on, but they don't bring you so much value because maybe it's just really fixing, you know, stuff that could be maybe improved in the product itself, or you're just basically repeating the same task over and over that maybe can be automated. Mm-hmm. So this is really also a very, very key part of the assessment. On one hand, assess on the customer side, let's say where you stand and where the problems are, so, but also assess on your side as an organization, as a customer success organization, where you stand.
Yeah, and not just blindly like fix stuff, which is like go hustle and fix the same things all over again, if you can automate that. Yeah. And also probably eliminate some things like that are not adding value, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And this also brings you then to the step number two, right? So step number one is this assessment that we also run, for example, with customers. And then once we understand that, we say, okay, now we know what, you know, we're doing well. We know what are the problems. We know what the customers typically are doing well and what the problems are. Let's create a vision now for that.
Yeah.
Okay. So where do we want to go? We are here. Our customers are here. Where do we want to bring them? And this is also very, very important to do. And also, for example, with some customers, the first part of the assessment is also creating a customer life cycle, really visualizing it. Where is this cycle? How it works, you know, for the company.
Yeah.
And then when we create vision is also we dig a bit deeper into creating, for example, customer-facing collaterals mm-hmm. for each phase of this journey that are helping the customer to also understand this vision, right? So you created your vision, but then you need to share this with the customer. And we saw how this was kind of a game changer for some startups, really. Because of course, the customer started first of all to see to have more trust towards the startup, right? Because you go there and say like, look, this is, you know, the journey we're going on together. This is the plan that we have, and this is, you know, the vision that and how we can help you, right? Yeah. We know that this is going to happen here. This might be difficult, and we're going to help you with this specific documentation or with this specific thing we will do for you or we'll share with you. And the customer feels also like he trusts you more, right? So it's like, okay, these guys know or these people know what they're talking about. And the second thing is, of course, also for the startup themselves, like creating this vision creates clarity. That means also creates what as a result, right? Reduce redundancies and increase speed of execution, right? Yeah. So when you know where you're going, then you can go really fast.
Yeah. And I think that's really true. And it's this saying of like, many people have that in their careers, right? And it's like, hey, I want to work with startups. I want to work in something like sales, customer success, marketing, I'm not mm-hmm. sure. Like, what can you give me a job? It's like, well, Beekeeper's hiring mm-hmm. frantically. What exactly do you want? And then people's like, well, I don't know. And my answer to that on a cheeky day is like, well, if you don't know where you want to go, you will end up somewhere else. Can you walk us through a bit your path, like going at this intersection of innovation, sales, and customer success? What led you to your point today?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it was a bit of a development. Starting in sales, it was also a very specific kind of sales, let's say, that I learned that is more a consultative sales.
Yeah.
So it's basically you are kind of a consultant for the customer. So this was, of course, a lot of skills that are typically associated with sales, as negotiating and building a strong business case and so on. But then there is also the after sales. So I was really also an account manager. So it was a lot of also understanding what is the strategy of the customers, how we're going to develop our relationship in the future after I sold this one thing, what's next, right? So also understanding what they will be doing with this thing that, you know, they bought today in 1 year time.
Yeah. You know?
So this has been also a bit of a part of the sales. And one thing that I realized then working with customers in different industries, but mostly in the application integration space, was the customers were looking more and more into startups or other kind of environments, like, for example, even universities, become their innovation partners, right? So they're kind of new partners. And so they were moving, or let's say they were adding to having the typical corporates, big names, partners for their technology and digital transformation. They were adding new partners who were startups and this kind of environment. So I got curious about that.
I think that's really interesting.
Innovation, yeah.
Apologies for the interruption. I think that's such an important point you tackle regarding corporates wanting to innovate and taking startups as innovation bodies. Like, how do you make sure it doesn't end up in innovation theater? Like, some innovation manager has a goal to do 5 POCs with like Beekeeper, Frontify, Sherpini, Starman, and whoever. And it never translates into the operational business, right? Because the buyer persona might not even be the same. And you being in customer success, right? Like, how do you make sure the customer is actually getting value from it, not just in terms of marketing and innovation, but the operational impact is there?
Yeah. I think this is a very good question. It's actually the third point of the, let's say, 3 point that you asked me about. And because it's something that can be implemented across any department or topic, that is test and refine. So this is how you do it. Because you implement something, and of course you can spend 3 years planning and trying to make it perfect. I personally believe, and also in my career, what I experienced is it's way better to start small, get the customer to use it, collect feedback, and iterate on that. And big and go bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's how you also make sure that you deliver value, because you know you start basically from I would say almost day one, if you want, delivering value to customer, right? So this is really how you do it. It's about creating this, having this, or keeping in everything you do basically a mentality of prototyping, testing, collecting feedback, going back, iterating, and that's how you deliver value.
From an innovation perspective, I wholeheartedly agree. I think what happens often is that a corporate says, like, let's just start with a proof of concept, proof of value, like, if it's going well, right? And then you do it, and then you might validate the wrong thing, versus like really insisting as an early stage startup, like, oh, our series A, B, C told us we need to do 3-year contracts, we need to have true ARR. Like, where do you, as a customer success lead, stand on terms of like starting small to make customer successful and then build step by step, versus making sure it goes into the operational business and getting that commitment for at least a year or so?
So I'm not sure I understood the question. Can you rephrase it for me?
Yeah, for sure. Let me rephrase
that. Let me break it down into 2 points.
As a head of customer success, how much commitment do you want from a customer when you start out a collaboration early on?
I think that it's essential to have as much commitment as you give to the customer. And I think that's quite important. So one thing that I also always recommend, startups when they work with the customers, is also to be clear on the effort that you put into something. Be prepared, obviously, right? So you need also, first of all, to put effort into something and then make it clear to the customers, look, this is the effort that I'm putting here, this is my commitment to you.
Yeah.
And then ask the same back. So I would say it goes to the commitment that you put in, I would recommend to ask for the same one towards customer. Also be clear, what I always told also customers in the past is always like, look, we can be the expert, let's say, as an organization of our product, of our software, really. But you, customer, you are the expert of your industry and your organization, right?
Yeah.
So the product only works if people use it.
Exactly.
So we really need to work together. I will bring you the expertise of my best practice, of the knowledge of the product itself, but you need to bring me the expertise and the knowledge of your organization, your industry, your the dynamics that are running within your organization, and you need to support me on that. If we both, you know, do our job, then we work together.
What do you do with a customer that says, like, let's say a chief digital officer for a chief information officer, so like, this is really important, here's 50k, let's get started, because only then we will see if people use it. And then even wires 50k to your bank account, it's a one-year agreement, but you see that people not really use it as intended.
So yeah, the question is, or let's say that what I would do is also, again, there, try to break it down into and collect feedback as soon as possible. Yeah. So the problem is, if you say, okay, we want to reach this in 1 year, right? And then you pretty much do nothing or wait 10 months, you know, to go back to the customer and then realize, oh my God, actually it's not going in the right direction. That's very difficult then to change. So I would recommend, when you do something like that, to really have very clear predefined check-ins and also define what we're going to do during these check-ins. So what will you bring? Of course, you will need to do your homework, looking into the customer's data, thinking about, you know, what are best practices you can recommend, what are materials, collaterals you can bring to support them to implement those best practices. But also, on the other hand, also ask the customer to collect feedback maybe for you, bring in somebody that is using the app to share this feedback. And whatever, you know, information you might need, so that they will also prepare and start this conversation as early as possible, and then implement something, right, that you define together, and you as an expert, let's say, of your product, they as an expert of the organization. And again, define the next time frame, which is going to be not in 10 months, but maybe in 3 months or 4 months, right?
Yeah.
And measure. So this is one thing, definitely, that is very important to
fully agree. Now, also, that given as a startup, even scale-up such as Beekeeper or so, like, you still have limited resources, right? So if you can choose to save an existing customer from churning and say, like, let's lose 10K, which would be a renewal for like 3 months, 12 months, or you could double down annual recurring revenue with an existing customer, which one do you choose and why if you have limited resources?
Can you repeat the question?
Yeah, for sure. Let's say you have two customers, right? One, like, you have two emails in your inbox, like, can you visit me tomorrow? And it's a full day away. And one is like, hey, it was cool to do this for a year, invest 10K with you, but I don't think I'm going to renew, except if you can come here and like show me how we can get more value. And then the second request for your time, and you can only travel to one place, right?
Of course.
Like, hey, it's excellent value so far. We have one business unit. My friend just asked from the other business unit who wants to do the same, but he would need to understand how he can be successful with you as well. Can you come to my place? It's the same net revenue retention, so to say, right? So one is renewing, one is doubling down. Which one do you choose and why?
Well, I think also it a bit depends on where you stand, as I say, as an organization. If you know, you are at the point where this, you know, you will need to get the money as soon as possible in, and then probably, you know, that could be a good move. But if you are at the point where actually this other customer is part of a strategy that you are having in place, and you have, you know, really a clear understanding of how you can leverage that potential, that definitely could be a better choice, let's say, that one. You know, like, there are always a bit of a risk assessment, you know, that you need also to run, because you will also know the customers, you will also, or potentially, right, know the customers and also know what the risks are for each of them.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And I mean, going into the same direction, and we asked Laura England like these questions as well. So it's just interesting to hear people's perspective. If you have three customers and one has a net promoter score of like 4, 1 at 7 and 1 at 10, and you could call one, like, which one do you call first? Which one is most important and why, obviously?
Which one is the most important? Well, it's, again, it depends what you're looking for. So if you're looking into, I think they are equally, you know, equally important to know what you're doing well, as well as what you're not doing well, right?
Yeah.
So it's equally important. I personally also believe we are way more focused on, you know, things that we're doing wrong. And sometimes, and it's way easier actually to double down on the things they're doing well.
Because the one with the 10 could maybe give you 3 referrals, a video testimonial, and jump with you in a webinar, right? Mm-hmm. However, the one with the 4 might actually talk really bad behind your back, or with your back being present on not getting value. The one with 7 might just not renew.
Yeah. I mean, it's also like, exactly, like, or the one, let's say, with the really, it depends also on what customer it is, right? So if it has really bad score, but is like an organization, again, that is part of your strategy and you're actually planning to get a lot of that organization, or we're planning to, then, you know, you're better call them.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. And maybe like from these rapid fire questions, we know they're easy to fire than to answer, but when you think about the startups also that we work of the Beekeeper as like part of your own company, what's like 3 things you see that are constantly that are easy to do, it's quick wins, but that really nobody is doing?
As I say, like
besides the status quo assessment, and yeah.
So asking really the right questions and understanding what is the problem of customers. So I see that many times, you know, customers will tell you, I want this. So they tell you already what the solution. And then we, as you say, have usually not so many resources. So you need to pick, you know, do I do this now or not? So sometimes it's really, if you ask the right questions and you understand the problem the customer has, you can figure out maybe a workaround, or you can figure out that it's not that urgent, that actually they, you know, they can find, can live with it for a few months. So this is definitely one thing to stop, you know, don't panic, stop and ask the right questions.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely agree that the questions are more important than answers. So customer success being a relatively young field, like why do you actually keep learning about customer success? Any podcasts, books, people to talk to you can recommend?
Well, there are different resources I really follow. There are different organizations of customer success on LinkedIn that I would recommend, and also colleagues, obviously, they share, customers themselves also, follow on LinkedIn. I would say LinkedIn is the main source of information for me.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. What's your perspective on like the whole tech emerging, like Totango, Gainsight, that put out own books? I mean, when do you need like dedicated customer success software versus adding a few custom fields to HubSpot or Salesforce?
Yes, that's one of the favorite questions of customers of mine. So it's like, okay, so what software should we buy now? And what are the softwares that we should use? And I challenge them always, so like, what are your problems? Where does your organization stand, right? And again, back to the maturity framework. So if you are not even clear on what your process is and what your challenge is and where your customers have problems, you know, then I would say, please do the homework first, figure out what are actually the things that you need to do better. And then we look it together into what tool can help you to do that better, right?
Yeah.
And also, again, where do you stand? Because if you are 2 people in the customer success, maybe, you know, and you are not even able to create consistency in how you 2 people work together, bringing a tool will not solve the problem, right?
So yeah, and sometimes like a JOT form, I just do it to like have like a 1 to 10 bars, like ask, like, would you be really that dissatisfied somewhat or not at all, right? Check for MPS.
So I would say really like there are lots of good tools. You mentioned some, and those are also companies that, you know, are always important, interesting to follow also to understand how they work, and they give you really also some great suggestions of how you can create, for example, this customer journey, documenting key activities that you do, understanding how much time you spend on these key activities, understanding better what are the goals that you're trying to reach. So I would say once you do your homework there, then it will be quite easy to figure out what do you need and which company what you need.
Yeah, that makes sense. And regarding what you need, so like you're obviously sharing a lot of value here on customer success and somebody that's done it in like a scale out now with your own company. If I'm say like I'm the CEO of Salespeople, which I'm actually am, and would not have hired Laura right now, how would I work with you? Like, how does it work? It was like Valentina, we need help. What happens next?
Yeah.
Is it time so, material, hourly, daily rate? Is it like a fixed program? Is it a software?
Mm-hmm. So what I typically do is work with these startups that have a small team and they need maybe also like a junior or more junior team, let's say, and they would like to have somebody that is more experienced and can help them to focus, first of all, really like do, as I say, this homework. So what we do is typically, as I say, first we start running a bit of an assessment. Everything that I do is also time framed, and I work mostly in sprints because of everything I said before, right? So we want to also work and deliver value as fast as possible to the customer. So I will say, okay, let's start with this. Let's understand, first of all, where we stand. We time frame this, time box this specifically, and we see after that, we define the next step. And the next step is usually then to start building a blueprint, if you like, for the customer success organization that they want to envision. And then define the priorities of that. What do they want to do first, second, and third? And then we go and really start creating materials or processes that they can use with the customers.
Yeah, that makes complete sense from a functional perspective. But how do I pay you? I guess you want to earn a living by that. Do I pay you in daily rate? Do you work for me as a fractional head of customer success until I find somebody who's taking that role full time?
Yeah, there are two options, I would say. So one is really like by the hour. Say like, okay, I think, you know, I would like to have that amount of time available. And then I usually though try always to define a bit what do we do during that time.
Yeah, for sure.
That the second thing is also a bit more on a project kind of basis. So it's more like, for example, I would like now to create an onboarding process for the customer. Can you help me with that? Or another customer would be, I would like to document and create a vision for, you know, where we stand as customer success and the blueprint out of that. Can you help me with that? So this would be then a project. I will do an offer with the different, as I say, milestones we achieve, the time frame, and then we will start working together.
Nice. Aiming to that, I'd say like, thanks so much before we wrap it up, any last thing you'd like to share with our listeners?
I would say just make sure you take the time, you know, to reflect and collect feedback from your customers, reflect and keep improving. Don't forget and don't fly blind, you know.
Aiming to that, love that spirit. And like, thanks so much for sharing these insights on how to stop flying blindly on customer success by understanding, planning, and implementing first in that order before just hustling and doing quick things and also getting clarity on this journey. Thanks so much, Valentina, for sharing these insights. And if people want to reach out to you, they can reach you best via LinkedIn, I understand.
Yes,
and then also define on a project base, on a time material base, how to best work with you and ramp up customer success and fly less blindly.
All right. Thank you, Manuel.
Thanks so much.